your full name?
Alexander Thompson.
Alexander Thompson. Yeah. When were you born?
March 29th, 69. Sorry.
And what's your permanent address?
5724 27th Street, Northwest, Washington, D.C. I feel like I'm being booked.
That'd be a great address I can. Okay, why don't you tell me a little bit about your life growing up and what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now, and your spiritual path now, and, mm-hmm. and the whole deal about your feelings, your family, your conflicts, bizarre episodes, your uniqueness, your frustrations.
How many hours?
Your frustrations with taking life, and
in 20 words or less.
And if you need me, I'll keep checking on you.
Okay.
Feel free to talk.
You should stay because it's easier talking.
Alright, hang on.
Okay. I'll start talking anyway. Let's see. I was born. Not of my own choice, right? And
I'm just gonna wash the name. I'll be right back.
Okay. I was born in São Paulo, Brazil. My mom and my dad were like your normal people. My brother had been born 3 years earlier in Rio. We were living there. My dad was in the foreign service. He was working in the arts there. And we lived there, I think, for 3 more years. And then came here. My dad's job changed. He was relocated. We moved here, but we went to Australia and Ireland and England for brief periods of time in between that. And then we settled here. We got a house in D.C. Where I had a normal, average childhood. I suppose I started going to Lafayette. I guess most of my memories from there are pretty hideous, just average feelings of like not belonging, wanting to be accepted, even so young, and just trying to do things so that people would like me. I don't know. I just remember having pain. I was feeling totally outside. It was fourth grade or so, and I switched to a Catholic school because my school was going to open space and they didn't wish to be there. My parents didn't. My first year at Blessed Sacrament, my parents got divorced. Got separated. It was really, really sudden. And, while I was in BS, I just was hating life, and that was for the rest of it until a little while ago. I hate talking about this thing, and I hate sitting here talking. My parents split up. My dad, they were both 54, and my dad had an affair with this woman that he was painting on Sundays. She's 20, and she was in college at DW. He was painting her, she was a model. And one night while my mom was up visiting sick friends in New York, she called, and he'd been out to dinner with her, and he told her over the phone that they were going to split up. What happened after that was a lot of really crazy time, and it was just really hard. My brother sort of took the logical escape, which was not to deal with any of it. And
love Michelle here for coming?
No, you don't want that. Isn't it easy when you're alone?
I'll be in here.
You make me crazy. it was just a really crazy time. I would come home and my mom would be in tears and, you know, totally hysterical. And I would be there. And I don't know what to do. It was really, like, dramatic separation. I was there when my dad dropped me off, like, with a friend of mine. We had, like, been out roller skating or something. And he had his girlfriend with him. And my mom was outside waiting. And they had a big fight. This fight, and I ran away. And that just happened for a long time. I remember coming home and having groups of women over there talking about how the men had split and were really screwing them over. Coming home and finding my mom in tears all the time, you know, she was stealing from the Safeway. My mom's British, very, very British, very, very British. And she wasn't poor, but now she was. And she hadn't worked in 15 years, trying to find a job, all this shit. I just remember being, whatever it was, 11, and having my mother's problems being mine. I didn't really want to look at how I was feeling about it, and so I just concentrated on her pain. But what ended up happening was I took her pain, and that's a lot of pain for an 11-year-old. Anyway, time went on. They got divorced. Mom was totally bitter and hateful, and she apologized all the time for bringing me into it, but I guess she couldn't help it. Because what ended up happening was I had a lot of hatred for my dad. I didn't speak to him for about 2 years, and after that it was only sort of, bullshit. And then in that time I started getting high. I found a group of people that hung out up at this park and started getting high with them, and it felt good to sort of belong, even though they gave me total shit for about 2 years. After about 2 years of that, I started going on tour with the Dead. I guess I was 13 and a half. And I told my mom I was leaving. She said, "No, you're not." I said, "Yes, I am." And I went. I went up to Canada with them. I went down the East Coast, through the Midwest, up to California, up and down the coast, just hanging out with people on tour and hoping that things would change. I was somewhere the other day and we were talking about how your whole life felt like you're waiting for this event, that you were here for some reason and this event would happen and then that would be the reason, you know. So it was like you could totally not participate in shit and just be like waiting for this event to happen. That's what I did, definitely. I got around on tour without... I would come back from tour and nothing would change. I would leave for tour and nothing would change. I started developing like all these different personalities. You know, I think they're all part of me, but certain people would speak for certain sides of me. And I would come back here from Dead Tour and start promoting hardcore shows and all this shit and just
gotta come out somehow.
And,
say what was coming to your mind, that thing. Let it flow out.
Just no matter where I was, there was always pain. You know, it was always like nobody else in the world could understand. When I was 16, I guess I started believing that I was going insane. Really. And I started playing all these games with my mind and like trying to go 24 hours without talking to anyone, even if they talked to me. And a lot lot of times it didn't work, but a couple of times it did. And just sit like that. People I would become friends with, and then just not speak to them. I was really rude to a lot of people. I just shut a lot of people out. I shut my family out in a lot of ways. My mom would never know whether I was going to be there or not. Like, sometimes I would leave her a note saying, gone, see you in a month. Still wasn't speaking with my dad. It's been like 4 years, I think. I would come back and go to school for some time and like then take off. I started being friends with this guy who was like the only person I would really talk to. And he would go and shoot dope and then come back and walk around and go and hang out in his house. A lot of times he'd be the only person that I would talk to for a week. And then he went into St. Elizabeth. And I started leaving a lot more. I just really believe that there was something really fundamentally wrong with me. And that if I told anybody about it, either they wouldn't understand or they were really trying to do something about it. And I didn't know that I wanted that. So finally, I think what happened was I just started accepting it and like really getting into it. And that's when I started. Up in Philadelphia, I moved up there with my dad. Not living with him, but like very close. And I still had all like a lot of rage for him. And he married this chick. And I couldn't possibly even begin to go in for that. I would go in his house and take stuff. I thought he deserved whatever I did, you know. I was totally free to act however I wanted to because of one thing that he'd done. I tried to go see this counselor at my school up there. He was the only person that I ever, like, counselor type person that I would ever talk to. And I tried to explain to him some of the things. And he told me I had this personality where I was always trying to fill myself. I said, you know, I eat too much. Smoke, I do bombs, I, you know, whatever it is, I bite my nails. And he said that there's ancient Chinese philosophy where there's the type of person that always tries to fill themselves to fill this hole. And they'll fill it with whatever they can. And that what I should do is accept being empty. And I tried that for a while. Should I talk about
whatever
you want to talk about? I started the word isolate. I don't know. I spent time alone, but most of the time I spent it with people, but alone. I would go to a place in Philly called Stars, which is like way on the wrong side of town. I would go in and you walk in and it's like being like, hi, I'm white, you know, and you're all not. And it was like a Jamaican dance hall to search you at the door and stuff for guns. And I would hang out there all night. And just shit like that, like going places where I could be alone in a group of people. I would miss appointments with this counselor here at school. I would miss classes. It used to just kill me because it was like what I wanted to do. I was in art school, you know, and I was doing the shit I wanted to do, and I would say to myself, no, I don't want to get high before I go to class, because I'm doing photography, and you have to remember logic, which is not easy for me, but I would anyway. And just that whole fucking pain was always there. The one thing I can say about my whole life is that I hurt. And I didn't really think about suicide, but I used to think about just absolutely not caring either way. You know, if I lived, I lived. If I died, I died. I used to always say, oh, I walk out of movies halfway. It doesn't matter how it ends. I've seen enough. I'm ready. You know, it doesn't matter. But I just always felt stagnant. Nothing was going to change. Nothing ever changed. No matter where I was, it didn't matter. I would build my hopes up for one thing and then it would fall. So, you know, you used to do that. I would really try and, like, get inside my head and like, walk around and so hard to explain, like putting myself into it, like just walk around and not be a part of anything, like watching a movie, and then feeling bad because I wasn't part of anything. It's like, let me separate myself and then feel bad because I'm a part. I was completely agnostic. I was completely apathetic to anything. I tried to find a God for a while, and then I realized that you'll never know either way, right? So I just became totally agnostic about whatever I did, and it was a really easy way to do anything. I came back from school to D.C., and it was the same. I went back up to school from D.C., and for my next year, sophomore year, and there was hassles about what classes I was going to take because I didn't do very well the first year. And I started writing a lot. I would, like, sit up all night and just write stuff and shit. It just seems like everything that happened and everything, every place I was, it was all just a blur. It just didn't matter. It was just a movie, and it was just pain, and, you know, movie and heroin. You know, then the traumatic moment happened of, Grateful Dead came to Philly. These people were dipping crystal in my room, making sheets to sell. I needed money. And I got busted by the school, not by the police, which was lucky for me, I guess. It was just horrible. My whole life was fucking horrible. You know, nothing you could, like, pinpoint, but just where I was not a good place. Like the counselor was talking about, empty person, always trying to fill stuff. That's just what I was. I was just empty all the time. And I kept trying new things to maybe change that, but it never worked. Anyway, so I left. When they came in and searched my room and everything, split everything away, and went back and went to a rehab. People told me just to look at it like a Club Med type thing, like maybe they'd have horses there or something. So I did, and they didn't. I don't know what happened. I don't know when I said, okay, this is what I need to do right now. I think what it was mostly that same apathy, the same agnostic thing. You know, like, oh, well, I guess I'll do it. I don't care. You know, it started feeling good. I don't know. No, it didn't. It didn't. It didn't feel any different, really. It was just something I did, and I came back to these days, and I started going to meetings. I don't know why. I don't know why. I didn't, like, say to myself, yes, I'm going to do this. I didn't do a little contract thing that they sign, that they do at a lot of rehabs where you sign and say you're going to go to meetings and all that. I just did. And people came up to me and my friends, and it started working, I guess. It started seeing some differences. I don't know where the change took place, where it went from apathy to wanting it. I don't know if it has taken place, I guess. It's 11 months later, and I'm still clean, and I'm still going to meetings every night, and I have a sponsor, and I'm working in steps. And there's still a lot of emptiness, but sometimes I think I still want it. I want it. But really, on the whole, it feels good not to feel. It feels good to have people wanting you around. It feels good not to have to play games. I think the biggest difference is that I don't feel... I know, like, when I walk into a room and I hear people talking about not feeling like anybody in the world can understand, and having had that same feeling, it's like thinking you're totally unique and finding out you're totally ultra predictable, and it's the thing you have, it's just a disease, and that really you're not insane. I talked to my father. That's one of the major differences that happened. Major relief not to really think it's crazy. It's a good thing. Okay. I started writing like a few days ago. I haven't written since I got clean. I wouldn't do it. And I was listening to music and I started writing. And school is not gone. I see it working a lot of people around me. since I got clean, four of my friends died. One hung himself on a tree outside his house. Another one on and on. I have an old phone book, and all I do now, I don't really call the people, but I hear about it, and I just cross off names. And people are dying. And I care now. That's the difference. I didn't talk about the serenity. Like that war inside of me. It's like I give a shit now, where it was before. It was just like, oh, it doesn't matter. It's cool, like, one of the things I've always wanted to do was be able to live until today. Like, enjoying wherever you are, just because you're there, and that's where you are. All that. And that's starting to happen. I react differently to things. I just used to always leave. Everywhere I was going, I would always just go there and then leave. I guess it is easier when no one's here. I would go somewhere, get totally flipped out, think I was going crazy, think everything was wrong, and leave. Then go somewhere else, think everything was wrong. I would leave to another city, dead towards like a constant geographical change. You know, every other day you're somewhere else. Choose who you're with or without. I can go somewhere and stay there for a while now. People in my life who understand. I don't know, it's so hard. You go through your whole life and you think that absolutely no one could possibly understand where you're at. And finally finding someone who does, and people, more than one person, amazingly enough. I've been through a lot of things in 11 months. And it's worth it. It really is. It's so good to be in reality and being sure that it's reality. No. It was harder than I thought it would be. I'm not waiting for the event anymore. That's living for the day. Carpe diem. Seize the day. It's not an event anymore. I really, really love a lot of people in my life. People would come in and out of my life before, and it would just be like, here they are, then they're gone. That's okay. Now I really care. There's people that I wish I was closer to. That's something new. Really caring about what other people are, you know, instead of just how they affect my life. I like your room, Chris. I like you. I don't know you very well. cut, click this thing off. Change. That's the coolest thing, definitely. You know, you fucking feel so stagnant, man. Nothing changes. Nothing's ever going to change. It's always the same. No matter where you are, no matter what's happening, it's just the same. And that doesn't feel like that anymore. Things are fucking changing every day. It's hard. It's hard work. But it's definitely worth it, man. I don't feel like I'm trapped anymore. I feel like I'm stuck in prison. I'm done.
I just saw you shake your head.